Namaskara to all mantis and good afternoon everybody. First of all, I'd like to express my thanks to Abbot of this monastery for giving me a chance to share the precious teaching of the Buddha in this special day. Okay. So we are gathering here to celebrate or to remember the day of Buddha's enlightenment. And the arising of the Buddha give happiness and welfare for those who have faith in him. In four Asankhaya and 100,000 kapas ago, there was a hermit called Sumedha. And this Sumedha, at that time, he had five mundane psychic powers. And one day, he met with Dipankara Buddha. If he could hear a few senses of teaching of the Buddha from Buddha Dipankara, he would have attained arahantship and free from all sufferings. However, out of compassion, the great compassion he had for all sentient beings, then he let go. He abandoned the chance, the opportunity to become arahant. And he vowed, he made a wish to help or to become the fully enlightened one, Samma Sambuddha. And he said, when I realize the four noble truths, likewise, I want to help others to realize this four noble truths. And when I cross over the ocean of birth and death, likewise, I want to help others to cross over the ocean of birth and death. Therefore, he inspired to become Samma Sambuddha so that he can have omniscient mind, sabbeyuta jnana, to understand all human beings' personality, temperament, and so that he can help them more effectively. And now, Buddha, after that, he practiced 10 paramis, sacrificing his life for many lifetimes, sacrificing his limbs, his body, his organs, his kingdom, his son, his wife, give away his sons, his wife, in order to perfect his dana paramis. So after long struggling, he fulfilled all his 10 paramis and become the fully enlightened one. Since then, 2,600 years had passed. Buddha had left us. However, he left behind very precious teaching to help us to realize the four noble truths, to help us to get rid of all suffering, to help us to attain eternal peace. And Buddha said, there is a direct path for the purification of beings, for surmounting sorrow and lamentation, for overcoming pains and grief, and for for the realization of peace, Nibbana. What is this path? The four foundations of mindfulness. So although the Lord Buddha had gone, but he left behind the precious teaching we call Dharma to help us. And these four foundations of mindfulness is our resort, our ancestral domain. Our resort. If we move in our resort, then we are safe. We are protected. But if we stray out our resort and step in other people's domain, then we will be caught. We will be caught by the evil one, the Mara. And we will meet with disaster, calamity, misery, and end in suffering. So Buddha give a story, a simile in Samyutta Nikaya. Buddha said, he said in a certain forest, a hunter set out a trap of tar. A trap of tar to catch monkeys. Those monkeys who are clever and not greedy, when they see this trap of tar, then they try to avoid from far. But there was a monkey who is foolish, who was very foolish and greedy. And when this monkey saw this trap of tar or pitch, he approached it and seized it with his hand and get caught there. Because that tar is very sticky. And it's covered with a thin food. But because he's foolish, so he seized with that tar with one of his hand and get caught. And he thinks by himself, I should free my hand. In order to free his hand, then he sees the trap of tar with another hand. Now both of his hands are caught. And he thinks, I should free both of my hand. So he sees that trap of tar with one of his feet and get caught again. And to free both of hand and one of his feet, and he sees with other foot. Then now both hands and feet are caught. And in order to free his hands and feet, he applies his muscle. Applies muscle to that trap of tar, and now all the five points are caught, are trapped, and he met with calamity, he met with disaster, and now the hunter can do what he want to do with that monkey. So the question comes. Why the monkey met with such disaster? Because he stepped in other people's domain. Because he strayed outside his own domain and stepped in other people's domain. Similarly, we as a Buddhist, as a practitioner, if we stray outside our own resort and stay in other people's domain, we also will be caught by that monkey. We also will be caught like that monkey and meet with disaster or calamity. So, what is other people's domain? What do you think? What is other people's domain? Buddha said, form cognizable by the eyes. That is, that are desirable, pleasing, agreeable, and sensually enticing. Sound cognizable by the ear, that are desirable, pleasing, agreeable, and sensually enticing. So when the eye sees something very pleasant, agreeable, desirable, and without setting up the mindfulness, then we are caught. We are caught. The eyes are caught by the desirable, visible form. If we do not have mindfulness at that time. Similarly, when the ears hear the desirable sound, agreeable sound, or music, or any sound that is sweet, and without setting up the mindfulness, then the ear will be caught. Will be caught by that sensually enticing sound. Similarly, the smell. The smell which are agreeable, desirable, and sensually enticing. And the taste which are agreeable, desirable, and sensually enticing. The tangible object and the mind object which are desirable and pleasing, that arouse our desire and lust. So without setting up the mindfulness, without aware the greed that has arisen in us owing to impingement of the six sense basis with the six sense pleasing object, then we will be caught. Our five points, eye, ears, nose, tongue, and body, should be 6 points, and mind will be caught like that monkey. Then we meet with suffering, because when there is greed, when there is lust, when there is craving, then there is suffering. Because Buddha said, craving is the origin of all suffering. The second noble truth. The first noble truth, the truth of suffering, that what causes the truth of suffering? Precisely this craving. Therefore, if we do not guard our mind with mindfulness, and we will be trapped. Therefore, Buddha urged us to move in our own resort, to move in our own ancestral domain, and don't step in other people's domain. And this, and what is our ancestral domain? The four foundations of mindfulness. Satipatthana. So there are four satipatthana. Number one is kaya nupasana satipatthana, body contemplation. Number two, vedana nupasana satipatthana, feeling contemplation of feeling. And number three, citta nupasana satipatthana, contemplation of mind. And number four. Dhamma nupasana satipatthana, contemplation of phenomena. So these four contemplation are our resort, our ancestral domain. If we move in our own resort, we are protected. We are protected by all types of defilements that might arise when the six sense bases come to contact with six sense sensually enticing objects, external objects. And what's the purpose of practicing the Dharma? Precisely to free ourselves from all defilements. Precisely to end all suffering. And all suffering come from defilements. Therefore, we have to move in our own resort. First, the body contemplation. How we can contemplate the body? This body is made up by four elements. Patthavi Dhatu, earth element. Apo Dhatu, water element. Tejo Dhatu, fire element. And the last one, Vayu Dhatu, wind element. So this body is this body consists of four elements. So therefore Buddha said in body kaya nupasana satipatthana, whatever this body is disposed, it consists only four elements. Whether you are sitting, walking, lying down, you are laughing, talking, silent, keep silent, this body consists only four elements. So if you can move in this resort, kaya nupasana satipatthana, move in this resort, and your five senses are closed. Your five senses are protected because your mind stay with your body. You are contemplating the four elements in the body, therefore your other senses, eyes, ears, nose, tongue, body are protected at that moment. And when you keep on as a practitioner, we want to realize the truth. What are the truths that we want to realize? The truth of anicca, dukkha, anatta. Right? And this body and this truth can be realized if you pay attention to your own body. So when we keep on paying attention to the four elements in the body, then gradually we will see this body, there's no solidity. No solidity, only elements. And these elements arise and passing away very fast. Constantly arise and pass away, arise and pass away. And if we can see this body consists only four elements, nothing else. And these four elements continue to arise and pass away, then we can remove the perception of self. We will not identify body as myself, body as mine, body as I am, body as myself. So we can remove the perception of self. And if we keep on seeing the arising and passing away of these four elements in the body, we also can remove the perception of permanent. We always think body is permanent. Therefore, when we get old, when we get sick, we feel sorrow, lamentation, grief, despair. Why? Why can't we accept the truth? Why can't we accept the truth of impermanent? Precisely because we do not pay attention to impermanent. Because we do not pay attention to changing. Therefore, the perception of permanent is very strong in our mind. So by seeing the impermanence of the body, gradually we develop the right view of impermanent. So when we understand the body is impermanent, when the body change, get old, get sick, we don't feel stressful, we don't feel sorrow, lamentation, pain, and despair, because we have already penetrated the true nature of the body. So this is one of our resort that we have to move in our resort in order to live happily. Okay? The second one is contemplation of feeling. Feeling arise whenever our senses come to contact with sense objects. Feeling arise almost automatically. So when I come, let's say a man's eye come to contact with beautiful lady, beautiful woman, spontaneously he feel very pleasant. Pleasant feeling will arise in his mind. Same as when a woman sees a handsome man, and a pleasant feeling arises automatically in his mind. And when the pleasant feeling arises in our mind, if we do not mindful of it, what will happen? What will happen? What do you think? So if you see something very pleasant, or you hear something very pleasant, or when you eat something very pleasant, or when you smell something very pleasant, or when you have bodily contact, very pleasant bodily contact, and you are not aware of that pleasant feeling, what will happen to your mind? What will happen? Then we will start to crave for it. For more and more pleasant feeling. Because pleasant feeling is so pleasant, immediately we get caught, we want more and more, more and more. This is called craving. So, Vedana Pachaya Tanha. Vedana Pachaya Tanha. Craving, condition, craving. And when the craving becomes stronger and stronger, what will you do? What will you do to satisfy your craving? You will act, right? You will act. You will do something to get the object so that your craving can be satiated. Your craving can be satisfied. And this doing something is called kamma in the teaching of the Buddha. Kamma. And since this karma is wholesome or unwholesome, kusala or akusala, because it's done with craving, it cannot be kusala. So it is akusala karma. And any akusala karma, any karma, once performed, leave behind karmic potentiality, leave behind karmic force. And this karmic force follows us life after life. This karmic force follows the mental stream. And when it meet with favorable condition, it will produce its akusala vipaka. Akusala vipaka. Unwholesome effect. And we are caught. We are caught in suffering. Life after life. Therefore, whenever feeling, pleasant feeling, activate craving, and unpleasant feeling, activate anger, irritation, right? And neither pleasant feeling nor unpleasant feeling activates ignorant. So if we are not mindful of any feeling that arises in our mind, we activate defilements. And precisely this defilement that causes us suffering. So suffering does not come from outside. Suffering comes from inside. So by aware of feeling, whether it's pleasant or unpleasant, then we are protected. When there's pleasant feeling, you know. Now there's pleasant feeling, then contemplate this pleasant feeling as anicca, anicca. Or contemplate it as anatta, anatta, non-self. Why is non-self? Because feeling is the outcome of contact. Feeling is the outcome of six contact. Eye contact, ear contact, nose contact, and so on. So it's just feeling, it's just a causal, it's just an effect of certain cause. So if we can understand this causal relationship, then we understand feeling is not a permanent self. It change. It change according to circumstances. And if we can keep on noting or keep on contemplating the impermanence of the feeling, then gradually we understand whatever is felt is suffering. Buddha said, whatever is felt is suffering. Why? Because of its change. And if we can understand all feelings are suffering, then we will not activate other defilements out of pleasant feeling or out of unpleasant feeling. So this is how we can protect. By contemplating feeling, we protect our mind. Okay, the third one, Cittanupassana Satipatthana. Cittanupassana Satipatthana contemplate different states of the mind. We have different states of mind. For example, a mind affected by greed, a mind affected by dosa, anger, a mind affected by loba, dosa, moha, and so on. Or contracted mind, or distracted mind, and so on. Jealousy mind, conceit mind, slow and double mind, and so on. So different type of mind, when they arise in the mind, if we are not mindful of it, what will happen? We probably will act according to that mental state. Without mindfulness, when there's anger, then we will act according to the anger. Without mindfulness, when there is jealousy, and we will act according to that jealousy which is arising in the mind. Therefore, we have to be mindful of whatever state that arises in the mind in order to free ourselves from suffering. When defilements arise in the mind, we don't feel happy. We feel miserable. So by contemplating, applying mindfulness and wisdom, tell yourself, okay, let's say anger has arisen in your mind. Know it. Anger has arisen in my mind. Anger has arisen in my mind. Anger is impermanent. Anger is impermanent. Anger is not a self. Anger is not a self. It's just an effect of certain cause. So if you can contemplate in this way, then you will not act because of arising of anger at that state, at that moment. And this is how you can free yourself from the burning fire of anger. And to be able to understand or to contemplate the mind is very, very difficult. To be able to contemplate the body is very easy, because Buddha said, the change of the body is easily discerned. So now you see your hair turned to grey already. The skin become wrinkled. So it's easily discerned the change of the body. But to see the change of the mind is very difficult, because the mind changed so fast. And since long time ago, we identify all mental states as I, mind, myself. We do not identify body as myself as much as we identify our mental state, our mind. When body dies, we just cast the body, then take another form of body. So we cast away this, the present body, we don't attach it anymore, but we change form, another form. However, forever, forever we attach to the mind. Therefore, in order to let go that attachment to the mind as myself, as I am, as mind, M-I-N-E, mind, then we have to contemplate the mind. All these are precious teaching taught by the Buddha. Buddha sacrificed his life when he practiced bodhisattvahood. He sacrificed his life, his limbs, his country, his wife and husband for many numerous lifetimes just to realize this truth, just to realize this precious Dhamma so that he can share with us. And we are fortunate enough to listen to this precious teaching, but if we only stop short by listening and not applying, I say it is a waste of our human life. So, and because of this reason that I share this precious teaching, the four foundations of mindfulness, and Buddha already said this is the direct path, the only path that can help us to overcome all sorrow, all lamentation, all pain and grief, and for the realization of peace, Nibbana. Okay. So lastly, lastly is contemplation of phenomena. This contemplation of phenomena cover why aspect. It includes the four noble truths, the five aggregates. What are these five aggregates? Rupa, materiality, feeling, perception, formation, and consciousness. These five aggregates make up this mind and body, make up a self. So when we say he, she, you, I, me, this only conventional truth. What actually exists is five aggregates. So if we study five aggregates, then we come to conclusion. These five aggregates are produced by causes. Produced by causes. What caused the arising of five aggregates? Ignorance. Ignorance, avijja, tanha, craving. Because of previous ignorance and tanha, then now five aggregates arise in this lifetime. And if we still cling, to these five aggregates as permanent, as happiness, as a self, then we are unable to free ourselves from this clinging, from this wrong view, from this craving. So long we cannot free ourselves from this clinging, ignorant and clinging, we are unable to free ourselves from the cycle of birth. And the Buddha, the wish of the Buddha, the wish of the Buddha is to help us to free from all suffering, because Buddha has great compassion, Maha Karuna. He is unable to see all sentient beings suffer. He wants to help. In order to help, he got to practice practically. He got to practice it first. And he free himself, then he know this method is practical. This method can really help. Therefore, he started to preach the Dhamma in order to help us. So how fortunate we are here, to be able to listen to his instructions and to apply it in our daily life so that we can live more happily. So these four foundations of mindfulness. And this four foundation of mindfulness, Buddha say, is our domain, our ancestral domain. We have to move in our own resort, move in our domain so that we can be protected, so that we will not meet with calamity, we will not meet with suffering. And precisely because of this, Buddha teach this four foundation of mindfulness, because Buddha want us to live happily. Buddha do not want us to suffer, and he suffer for us for numerous lifetime. So as a faithful disciples of Buddha, we try to follow his advice, we try to follow his instruction, so that we also can be like him, attain peace and happiness in this lifetime. Time's up. Sorry, I don't have time, so I don't know what's the time now. Is it 5 o'clock now? Oh, okay. So, and I feel very happy to be here so that I can share this precious teaching. As a monk and nun, we also inherit the Buddha's compassion to help people. And we are supported by all the devoted Buddhists. We are supported as a monk and nun, we are supported by a layperson. So as a token of appreciation, we impart this precious teaching to all the devoted Buddhists. This is called mutual support. So hopefully we can work together for the peace and harmony and happiness for all beings. Thank you.